it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you got to bake all of that into your ziti. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's a bunch of stuff that was happening in that game that we didn't know. Like we knew that George Kittle was out, and then we found out that Juwan was out. Now we found out that Brock was running around on a toe injury and a shoulder injury. There's all kinds of things going on in that football game that we did not know about. And I'll add in another, which is sort of philosophical. I don't know what conversation happened on the sideline, but I bet there was something to the effect of, hey, dude, we're scoring touchdowns the rest of the way. And if not, we're going for it on fourth down. So if we're late in the game and we're losing, yeah, dude, huck it up. We're not getting into a kicker battle. He's fired. Don't worry about him. He doesn't even play for us anymore. We'll send him out there for extra points and kickoffs. Other than that, we're done. We're done. I don't think anything like that exactly happened, but there was something. There was something to me that was suggested, which was let's avoid field goals if at all possible.
Right, and that's what they did, their approach. So the kick gets blocked, and it's a 36-yarder, and you could see Kyle open mouth say a word that even John Feliciano, a friend of the program, hasn't uttered. It starts with a F and rhymes with duck. And he screamed it as loud as humanly possible. And so from then on, yeah, I'm with you. The next drive, it's 4th and 2 at the 14. They pick it up because they don't want to kick a field goal. But then 4th and 13, 4th and goal from the 13. Heck.
Right.
Now what?
Now
you're not going to go for that. He kicked it. He made it. And the game was tied. But I'm kind of with you when you get down all the way to the nitty-gritty. And I wonder if it was 4th and goal from the 4. If Tonjes doesn't make that catch, we'll never know what they would have done. Field goal ties it. Awful tempting, even though you can't wait to cut your kicker. It's a chippy. He couldn't miss 2 of those, could he, Mark?
God, I hope not.
I mean, luckily we didn't have to get to that point.
No, but you're like, I watched it in a completely different way once you got to the fourth quarter. Yes, the game was still in the balance and you could win it, but don't you get to a point where you're like, this is so ridiculous that, like, I'm not going to watch this anymore with a, like, please make it, please make it. It's more just like, oh, hell, let's see what happens here. You going to hook this one too? Like, you sort of, it's not give up, but it's just a change in perspective to where I'm like, I don't, what the hell is everybody supposed to do? The kicker doesn't kick the ball straight. So
that feeling of dread. And, you know, right. McCaffrey gets 1 on that first play. The clock's running. And we're not thinking about the field goal line that they put on the screen. You know, ooh, the field goal line. If you can get to the 38, that's Moody's range.
God.
The idea of Moody's range was not crossing my mind at all. I was thinking they're going to lose this game like they lost all these games last year, where this time it's the kicker and the kicking team and, you know, the interception, the second one from Brock. It's like, come on, Brock. That's not the time for that,
no,
kid.
No, I know. You want, like, actually, what we got to experience last week is what we never got to experience at all last year, which was, ooh, I think we kind of got away with one. Like, that never happened. We gave that feeling to a lot of other fans. That happened, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times where the other team won the football game, and they were like, you shouldn't have won that game. So now the Niners got one.
Yeah. The only one was Tampa last year.
Oh,
they tried to give that thing away about 7 different times.
Sure, and then they didn't.
Right.
Like, I mean, I won't say that the Seahawks, quote, should have won this game because they got outplayed. But when you start sprinkling in all of the other pieces of what took place on Sunday, I do think the Niners kind of got away with one. And thank goodness, because now they might be playing the next game or two without their quarterback. And for me, that changes everything. It changes the way I assess. It changes what I hope for, what I expect. Although, I don't know, man, if I'm listening to everybody, maybe I shouldn't. The Niners are still favored. It's always fascinating to me how many people, in our city and in our fan base and all of those things. And I get it. It's frustration, and it might be a small percentage of the audience or whatever, but there's so much sort of like there's a lot of frustration and lack of trust sometimes that gets directed at Kyle Shanahan. But it's so fascinating to me then when this happens. And I really think it pins people in a corner. It's like, if you think Kyle Shanahan's so overrated and he doesn't know the rules and he's too conservative.
Always bad clock management.
And damn it, stop calling him a genius. If that's how you feel, why the hell do you think they're going to win this week? They don't have their quarterback.
And New Orleans is not very good. But that would be an easy counterpoint to that.
They were home against Arizona this weekend, would they still be favored?
Maybe by a point. It'd be close. That'd be a close one. Mm. That would be a tight one, I do believe. And hopefully we won't have to see this going forward, because it's home to Arizona next Sunday. And if you still don't have Brock, you won't have George. We don't know about Juwan. And you get to that spot. If Arizona's 2-0, and so are you, that might be a pick 'em, because you know Arizona, they've got a pretty decent little offense there. I mean, the quarterback has given you problems.
I thought the Saints weren't any good.
You had no answer for James Conner.
Yeah, I thought New Orleans wasn't any good.
Trey McBride is a very good tight end.
I thought New Orleans wasn't any good.
They're not.
Okay, so what did Arizona do that was impressive?
They won.
Okay.
They won the game.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
that counts.
It does. It does. Yeah, I don't think they're terrible.
I don't think the 49ers were very impressive. There was aspects that
were. I don't either.
Ricky Pearsall was impressive. And Nick Bosa was impressive. Fred Warner, my goodness, Greg Cosell's got a crush on that man.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, hard not to.
Who was impressive for Arizona?
Oh, I haven't seen the whole game. I got to look at the tape, Mark.
I saw a 95-yard touchdown from Marvin Harrison that Kyler Murray threw right over his head.
Yeah.
Threw it right over his head. Murray threw for a 163, had a couple touchdowns, no picks. James Conner, 3.3 yards a carry. Trey Benson broke a 52-yarder, which allowed him to average 8.6 yards per carry. But all in all, 52 of his 69 yards came on one run. Harrison, 5 catches, 71 yards. Okay. Trey McBride, yep, he did this. I mean, okay. They're all right.
Don't have to worry about them for another 10 days. So yeah, not even thinking about Arizona, although the picks are in today for the week, and I like Arizona given the 6.5. That's a late game on Sunday. I think.
Who the hell are they playing?
That's a check the sheet. I just wrote down the
you
team.
You like
I took.
Minus 6.5, but we don't even know against who. Arizona Cardinals this weekend will be. Oh, they're hosting the Panthers. They're hosting the Panthers.
Man, quarterbacks. Yeah, Bryce Young. You can ride with Bryce. I'm 5-0, so all your little noises
and
all your clapping with you and your little buddies back there, y'all need to just check yourselves. It's Ride the Dibber now.
It is.
The bit's got a new name.
For the moment. That's temporary.
I mean,
we didn't pull
out. I got to lose a few in a row before I get the rug pulled out.
I don't know if you get to make that rule.
I don't care about that. You call it whatever you want. Yeah, I'm hot.
You call it whatever you are. You are. You are.
I ain't changing the open, though. That's too much.
No.
Who fade the Dibber? I like what you've done with it. You've done a lot of good things there.
You could just do it live.
I could. The texter earlier said Mac Jones and the best talent he's ever played with was at Alabama.
Alabama.
Just glanced at it. Brian Robinson Jr.
Yep.
So it'll be
teammate.
A reunion.
Teammate.
Devontae Smith.
Sure.
117 catches that year.
Right. And who was the other receiver?
A guy named Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle.
Najee Harris. he had 1,466 yards in 13 games. Yep. Bryce Young, the backup quarterback, aforementioned Bryce Young. Yep. And it goes on and on. I mean, bananas. He threw for almost 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks.
My favorite part is when somebody with an Alabama, like a Southern accent, will be like, you can't prove that we're paying our players. Yeah, we can. I was talking to somebody about this last week. I was at a game, this is 1,000 years ago, at the Rose Bowl, college football, probably BCS days, BCS National Championship game, Miami versus Nebraska. I think Miami had Ken Dorsey as their quarterback, like
wow,
whatever.
Miramani.
Yeah. Wide receivers, Andre Johnson, Santana Moss. Running backs, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore. Tight ends, Kellen Winslow Jr., Jeremy Shockey. That's just the offense. Ed Reed is playing safety.
I'm like,
holy crap. Yeah, tell us that you're paying your players without telling us that you're paying your players.
They just recruited their butts off that year,
Mark. Great. Tonight at 7, Odyssey presents I'm Listening. It's a special broadcast event featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening will be hosted by Carson Daly and spreads awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. You're not alone. It's okay to not be okay. You can listen right here on 95.7 The Game at 7 o'clock tonight. For more info, visit imlistening.org. We're also sponsored by Moderna. 888-957-9570. Oh, Giants lost. We should get into this a little bit coming up next, too, and we'll keep going with looks like Mac Jones in, Brock Purdy out. How does it change your Niner expectations this week? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. If you're doing what I'm doing, then you're listening on the radio. If not, you could check them out and see what kind of hat Willard's wearing right now on YouTube.
Facts.
It's a hat.
It is.
Yeah.
Haka hat.
You're on a hat streak.
It's a Haka hat. I am.
I promised you I would keep track of the hatalytics.
Well, except for this week, because normally when I get the fresh cut, then I let it flow a little bit.
Yeah.
But I got the fresh cut.
You cut?
Yeah, look.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Yeah.
But high and tight.
A little circumstantial.
Yeah, right now the salt is blowing out the pepper.
Oh, yeah. If you don't.
Oh, the salt's on a little bit of a run.
Oh, yeah, salt. Yeah, I put salt on everything, including the top of my dome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're running about 75-25 right now, salt v. pepper.
Probably not going to see any hat tomorrow. It's open house at Jude's school.
There you go.
So I got to go straight from here to the...
It's back to school night.
Yes, back to school night. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I call it open house?
I get confused also.
Yeah, no, but I got it.
Because we have back to school night tomorrow as well.
Open house is later in the year and the kids come with you.
Correct.
Back to school night, get a sitter, go talk to the teachers. It's still early in the year. Your kid hasn't pissed the teacher off yet. You might get a smile. Good luck.
Yeah. And you're in a spot now in middle school where you got to go to 5 or 6 different classrooms, and they'll ring the bell, and like every 8 minutes you got to rotate.
And I'm like, what are we doing? Because I won't even get there because I'll hustle from here. I'll get there halfway through, and so I've already emailed the teachers that I'm going to miss. I'm trying to be a little bit more conscientious about this stuff.
Yeah,
because it happens on Thursdays, and normally what I do is, hi school, I work in sports. It's Thursday night football. See you at the end of the year. And lovely Christy gets a little credit. She's finally she's guilted me. Babe, let's be real. You've guilted me.
Yep.
I'm in. We'll do the Packers are playing the Commanders, and nobody wants to see that. So we're going to go to back to school night tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to wear a hat. I'm not going to wear a hat.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
And so you won't wear a hat here because you don't want to have hat head.
Oh, yeah.
People with hair, I'm told that that's actually a thing.
It's a rough thing.
Like, I don't know if I've ever seen Grandy wear a hat ever, nor should he. He's got a lovely head of hair.
Yeah, good hair. Yeah, you're either.
You don't know why?
Yeah, why?
I have a gigantic head. I can't ever find hats that fit me.
It's a big dome.
What are you rocking? Are you rocking an 8?
I don't know. Well, hats don't fit me.
I don't do fitted hat. It's not fitted hat. I have very few fitted hats. Get adjustable.
The only hat I've ever found that fits me was at the time it was AT&T, and they had right inside the third baseline, the left field gate.
Yeah.
Which I forget which gate that one is. Right inside there, they had a setup, and it was a bunch of gear that was on sale. And I was like, why are these hats like 75% off.
Because they're too big.
And they're like, because they don't fit anybody. No one buys them. I was like, this is perfect for me.
You're like,
the only hat I have ever found that fits
like,
me.
My hat is an astronaut's head, so like, I'll take two.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
It's a planet orbiting Uranus is what it is.
All right.
Every now and again, you got to go to it.
The planet part was funny, but you
John,
didn't...
why don't you try Uranus?
Every now and again. Now, John Fisher was looking for a place to move the team, and I made a suggestion. Bruce Bochy, Sal Castaneda, Mark Grandy.
Bruce Bochy.
Big melons.
Big head.
You ever watch Sal on Channel 2?
Oh, yeah.
That's a melon.
Oh, yeah.
He's rocking a solid 8. You're probably high 7s. Maybe you're an 8.
Bochy, I got a Bochy thing for you. So this is before I even moved back home.
Oh, we're going to the tape. Tail of the tape right now. I love this.
So before I even moved back home, I'm still working in L.A., and the Giants are on a heater. I'm going to the playoffs. So this is 2010. 2010, I didn't come back up until I got tickets to the World Series. I didn't go to any of the playoffs. So my producer at Fox, where I was working, I guess Fox had the broadcast of the maybe the National League Championship Series against the was it against the Cardinals, I guess, right?
That's when Joe Buck was rooting against the Giants.
Yes, but Ishikawa hit the ball over the fence, so what are you going to do? So anyway, 2010, my producer is up in the clubhouse with the Giants during the celebration. And he brought me a champagne bottle. He took an empty champagne bottle, I know. But he brought it to
me.
I was innocent. I was just back home, you know what I mean? Like watching the game on TV. But he brought me a champagne bottle. I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, just some observations. I was like, how was it? Well, this happened, that happened. Unbelievable celebration. Broadcast went well. Congrats to your Giants. Oh, by the way, I need to talk to you about Bruce Bochy. And I was like, oh, no. Because I thought for sure what he was going to say was, he's actually the biggest jerk in the history. Like, I couldn't, because that would have surprised me. He goes, you're not going to believe this. I go, what? He goes, he has the largest human head that I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, you can't imagine it until you see it up close and you're like, you're next to him and you're thinking, there's no way that's a human head. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So his eyes are just popping out of his head, trying to describe to me what's going on. And I'm like, I like, okay, you're telling me this. And I never really, until years later, got my own chance to have the up close look. And it's impressive.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's a big head.
Some celebrities with big heads. I love the internet.
Are you Googling right now?
Famous people, big head.
Real quick, Lucas did a quick measurement of my head, and apparently it is 7 7/8 is the hat size.
There you go.
That's a big ass head.
It's a big head.
Yeah, that's a big head.
It's a big head.
That's uncomfortable.
And it's, I mean, thank God you've got hair.
It's even
that's
worse
a lot
when
of,
my hair is long. Nothing ever fits.
Well, and if you happen to get to a spot where you do lose your hair, that's going to be a lot of bald.
I mean, you'll get there
then
someday.
Then I'll start wearing hats.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a smaller head, so being bald, it actually works for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't have one of those big old size 8, like, bald melons.
You're not bald. You just flipped your hair to the other side of your head. You're doing fine.
Sure.
Anyway, Brock Purdy is not going to play this weekend. But before we get to that, I do want to say this real quick because I went to the Giants game last night. The Giants have lost. However, Shaboozy, Dan Dibley, has some good news. We're going to pass along the good news. What's going on with the New York Mets right now?
Currently in the bottom of the second, and the Phillies are still batting. They scored 2 in the first. Phillies 2, Mets nothing.
Let's go fighting Phils!
Bottom of the second as we sit, and the Phils are trying to put more hurt on the New York Mets.
I think that you will understand this analogy. This happens with my lovely Christy all the time. Christy is a very early to bed person. With somebody who gets home from work around 7 o'clock and cooks dinner for a family, if we want to go get a drink or watch a show or anything like that at night, I have to both rush like crazy and kind of get lucky. Because often, because often by like, if 8:45, I'll be like, or 8:30, I mean, you want to go get a drink? She'll be like, dude, I'm in my PJs.
Yep.
I'm in my slippers. I'm in my comfy socks. I'm in my whatever. Or I'm in bed. Now, when somebody says that to you, what are the chances that that person, even if you've got all the energy in the world, you're like, ah, I want to take you out for a drink. Come on, let's go get a drink. What are the chances you're going to get that other person to get out of their comfy clothes in their comfy warm bed, redress themselves, and go out on the town to get themselves a tequila? Like, what are the chances of that?
I'm going to borrow from Kyle Shanahan and say, it's a long shot and stuff.
It's a long shot. All right.
As long a shot as Brock Purdy playing Sunday in New Orleans.
So here's why I'm bringing this up. Giants fans for 2 months now have had our comfy clothes on, and we have been in our warm, cozy bed with a glass of water and our favorite show on, and we are already half asleep. And now here come the Giants with all kinds of energy. In fact, even a new player who will scream in your face if you're not careful. He might pelvic thrust you or eat your outfit. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with this kid. And we're in our comfy clothes. And we're like, and the Giants are like, we're in the race. And I'm like, I went to bed. I'm warm. You want me to get my clothes back on and come back out? This dynamic on full display. Christy and I went to the game last night, and I'm telling you, it was a crowd. It was okay. It wasn't embarrassing by any stretch, but it wasn't full. It wasn't a great crowd. Weird night, humid, rainy at times, sort of rainy, misty, something. Diamondbacks in town. Before our seats are warm, Willie Adames has put a 3-run job up into the left field seats. Mm. Phenomenal. Giants win again. Mets had already lost. Giants 2 back. And maybe they'll still be 2 back when we go to bed tonight. But I'm telling you, if you thought that when I went to the yard, I would see pennant fever, no. No. There's something, this is a really...
Maybe like pennant sniffle.
No, it's
or
like...
Or pennant sneezy.
I'm not saying...
Not fever, no, but like maybe the sign of a little bit of a pennant illness.
Like people were into the game. But I know what September feels like when you win a baseball game in this city and you're humming at a playoff spot. People are walking down the ramps after the game. Let's go, Giants! And they're, come on, like there's stuff going on. People after this game were sauntering to their cars.
Right.
And so I'm not saying that they don't care. I'm saying this is a unique dynamic I've never experienced before, which is an actual legit shot at the playoffs, playing well in September, and the fans have not, like, they've not woken back up yet. And I understand why. We had a funeral on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a funeral to the Giants season on the show.
We did, and the reason why they're not feeling the fever is because they're 74 and 72. So it feels like it's just a question of how they wind up 82 and 80. Maybe they'll win 5 of the next 6, and then they'll tank, or maybe they'll start the tank now, and then they'll rally. It just feels like there's a certain amount of inevitability to their mediocrity. 3 years ago, 81 and 81, 79 and 83,
yeah.
80 and 82. Right now, you're 2 games above. So if you want to just go back through the last 4 seasons, you're 4 games below over nearly 630 baseball games.
Right, but 13 of 17.
Yep.
And in a way that's sexy. It's been offensively stunning.
It's been fun, yeah.
It's home runs that are flying all over the place. It's multiple players with a recent OPS north of 900. I mean, they're really a completely different team, and they are very watchable and fun, and they are racing at our favorite kind of playoff spot, which is one that we didn't see coming. When the Warriors won the championship 3 years ago, everyone loved it because, like, I didn't see that coming. So that's our favorite kind of thing. And I'm just sitting here kind of tossing out the dynamic with you. It's an odd feeling over there. I saw a guy that was selling tickets for the 50-50 raffle explaining to fans why this was a big game. He's like, we're 2 out. Let's go. And the fans are like, where's the popcorn guy? Do we have popcorn? Like that? We're still in lazy afternoon Saturday, June mode in a way or we're still in like wait till next year mode. But this has gotten to a point now where it is not far-fetched at all. It is. I know the Dodgers are coming for seven. You know, I know they got seven games still, and the Dodgers are coming this weekend. I get it, but it is realistic. A playoff spot is realistic at this hour.
Okay. Depends on. It is. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. And if you want to look at FanGraphs, and we did this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they had a 1% chance of making the playoffs. Well, that's now up to 4.7%, according to FanGraphs. Now, if you go to other sites and other sources, wildcard Giants percentages, they've got them at 21%. Yeah. Baseball Reference. So, depends on what you look at. Seven games against the Dodgers. You don't have the tiebreaker against the Mets. So, even if they lose today and you're two back, you have to get one ahead.
You got to get further.
In order to actually get by them. And you're kind of running out of games. You've got 16 left. It's not out of the question. But
not at all, especially the way the Mets are playing terrible.
Right. Well, they're also playing a great team right now. And, you know, Philadelphia, it's gone to the third and they're up 2-0. But, yeah, they're allowed to win 10 of their last 16. And the Mets can go 7-9 and the Giants can pass them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not calling it likely. It remains unlikely. I will definitely grant you that. It remains unlikely, but it is not. It is not far-fetched at all at this point. And, yes, the Mets are losing to the Phillies, but they also lost 2 or 3 to the Reds over the weekend. They lost their game before that to the Detroit Tigers. You know, they've lost 5 of their last 6. They are helping the Giants out, yeah. And the Giants were a team that needed help, and the Mets are giving it to them.
That's right. So, and, you know, today that's why it stings a little bit. I know sweeps are hard, and when you win 13 of 16 – you feel like, okay, if you lose one, you understand it and you forgive it. But today, just watching some of it was kind of like the Giants of July in August, where you had a couple of ducks in the pond, you couldn't get them in, then you had to strike them out, not exactly throw them up, but strike them out, throw around, pickle, and inning over. And, you know, Devers hits one that's a home run in every single patch of grass except one in the country. And so, you know, you came up short. But you've won 13 of 17. It's okay.
Oh, I'd like to add this to the discussion because we finally did this. I hadn't done this exercise yet, but we did this exercise as a group before the show, and I wasn't even thinking of this, and I wonder if this gives Giants fans even a little bit more of a juice boost. Y'all know who they're going to play in round one if they make the playoffs?
I do.
Go ahead and break it to everybody.
The Dodgers.
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
If they get the 6th seed, the Dodgers are almost assuredly to be the 3. 3 plays 6 in L.A., best of 3. Hello.
Who's
Sign
in?
Me up for that.
Anybody want to play a little extra baseball? That's what's looking at us. And I went to the game last night, and I'm telling you, people were like,
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go over Slice House? You know, like, I mean, it's just that. And I get it. I'm not blaming anyone. That's the mode that I've been in. Who saw this? This was not possible. You were a seller at the deadline.
Right.
Directly to the team you're chasing. I mean, these things don't happen. And this probably won't either. But 2 is a very small number. That's a small number.
Yeah.
That is very, very possible.
Be better if you were playing them, because then you'd get the automatic one-game switcheroo. But the Mets have been free-falling, and you mentioned it. The Giants, 13-4 in their last 17, which is one of their better stretches they've had in the last 15 years of that block of games. And of all the games I looked at, and I looked at every year, the majority of those runs where they go 11-2, 3 years ago, they went 11-2 in September. Well, the season was already over.
Right.
That got them to 80-79. Woohoo! At a babe, Kapler, great job. But thanks. The majority of these, like 2 years ago, they went 14-4 in June. Great June. You wound up 79-83 down the stretch. You faded. So the fact that this stretch is coming in September and the Mets are backing that thing up. That's what makes this one unique.
I mean, they are right there. They are right there. And I think that if they get there, I know this city. I know everyone will show up for it. Although there won't be any home games unless they beat the Dodgers. That's the other little quirk of this whole thing. It's a three-game series in L.A., and you'd have to win two of them. But if they were to do that, then you move to the divisional round, and you get a full series and all of those things. So we're talking about one hell of a parlay to come back, catch the Mets, pass the Mets, then go to L.A. for a three-game series, beat the Dodgers. You've given up a bunch of pieces from your bullpen. Oh, by the way, month of August to now, best bullpen in baseball. Want to venture a guess?
I mean, is it the Giants?
San Francisco Giants.
Okay.
That's after no Tyler Rogers, no Randy Rodriguez, no Camilo Duvall, and they...
They threw a guy today you never even heard of.
I'm like, who the hell's that?
Yeah.
And this Peguero guy who throws over 100 miles an hour, last night he was phenomenal. Oh, one other note. I just want to let everybody know.
You get a lot of notes.
I do. I've had a lot of conversations about this recently. I just want to let everyone know you are obviously still allowed to have your opinion. That never changes. But you can go ahead and give up on the idea of Bob Melvin being fired. That's a fact, Jack.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't think it was ever a thing, but when they had those players come out and basically say, no, we like playing for them, and then those same players caught absolute fire, and you can't have a year end like this and turn around and fire the skipper.
But they could lose the next 16 in a row, and he ain't going anywhere.
16 in a row might be.
Look at me.
Might swing
I'm not saying this.
I dare them to lose 16 more in a row.
But I'm not saying this because they're winning. I'm saying this because of conversations that I've heard about. Let's put it that
way. And it's honestly, it's obvious.
The people who are structurally in charge of these kinds of things do not see Bob Melvin as a problem. That's what I would say.
Well, he's not the problem. Like, the problem was your superstar hitters were not hitting. And then... your superstar hitters, and I had these numbers yesterday of what they've done over the 16-game stretch, and their OPSs are all 1,100. It's because they all are mashing. And you mentioned it. Adames last night, number 27.
Dude,
I think he's getting a 30 to end that long run of futility from the power spot. So Bob's a better manager now because the star hitters are playing like stars.
Right.
Job, Bob.
By the way, if you get a chance, if you've been having your work day or whatever, do go to the internet and find the highlight of Rafi Devers' home run. This is not a complaint.
It wasn't a home run.
I'm sorry. Rafi Devers should have been homer. The double that he hit in the eighth inning, it plated two. Y'all know what we're talking about. Go out to Triples Alley and then go very, very top of the brick wall. There's this one little strip that just looks like sidewalk cement. It's that color. One little strip up there all the way in right center field. It's about 5 billion feet away from home plate. Rafi hit that, and the ball flew back onto the field, and Mr. Devers got a double. Now, it's true for both teams, and the Giants are doing fine now, and they've won World Series in this building. I don't have issues with the ballpark. I never will, and it's not changing. It's just funny to me. You had the analytics on this hit. What were the analytics?
110 miles an hour off the bat.
Okay.
Expected batting average of 960.
Okay.
Home run in 29 of 30 parks.
Not even just that, but a home run in any other part of this ballpark.
And I think the total distance was 421.
Okay. So if you hit a 421-foot fly ball at 110 miles an hour, I would say the same thing if it came from the other team. That's a home run. I'm sorry, Giants. That has to be a home run. It's just wrong. Like, that's not the sport of baseball. If you hit a ball 421 feet at 110 miles an hour, you hit a home run. And if you've built something that creates that not being a home run, you've built something that doesn't work for me as a fan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, but it is what it is. But come on. Like, oh my God. The moonshot.
Back in the day, you had some ballparks where the fence is about 480 out there.
Yeah, but we ain't in that day anymore.
Yeah.
We here.
It was dead ball, and Willie Mays still hit more than 660 home runs.
True that. All right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. When you get back to the Niners, if you just hop in your car, Brock Purdy is highly unlikely for Sunday. The Mac Jones, Kyle Shanahan era has finally begun. 888 957-9570. How do your expectations for the Niners this weekend and beyond change with Brock Purdy out? We will take your calls right now. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, Kelly Savalas.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, guess. On 95.7 The Game up here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's see. Quote, Mac has been awesome. He's been such a good guy in the locker room, such a good guy on the field, shown out a bunch of time in camp. He's got a whole bunch of starts under his belt. He's played in the NFL. He's played good football before. He's an awesome player. End quote. That's from Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
About Mac Jones.
Love to hear it.
Who sounds like he is starting on Sunday in New Orleans.
Seems like it. Coach Shanahan said it would be a long shot for Purdy to play. And so, you know, long shots don't always happen. And you're going to ramp up and get ready to put Brock out there. And if Kendrick Bourne is actually up and active on game day, that's another player with whom Mac Jones has played. They spent time together in New England. Brian Robinson Jr. played with him in Alabama. Can't help but think those comfort zones might help McCorkle if he gets his first start as a Niner.
I have Doc Pandia texts. You want to hear a Doc Pandia text about Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I'm a little hurt that he didn't text me also. Well,
I texted him first.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. He was just responding to
it. You're forgiven, Doc.
Yeah. As we know, he says it really depends on the degree of the injury and how much of the toe is injured. If they're going to go the conservative route, it could be several weeks. And then goes on to say, Mahomes played through it in the playoffs a few years back, but then got surgery. So that's another thing that I always, whenever there's turf toe, there's always some NFL fan in your home or in your sports bar or on your phone with a text being like, your toe? Are you serious, you little wimp? You can't play through a toe? This is something that causes National Football League players to have surgery. I don't understand it.
Or even retire.
Yeah. I mean, Patrick Willis, sort of like that was it, right?
That was it.
And I don't think he couldn't have come back. I think he kind of wanted to just be done, I guess. But yeah, this is it's a thing. It's a real thing.
And if you think about the big toe as the thumb of the foot, and it really is the thumb of the foot. And I know you don't have to do a lot of grabbing with the big toe like you do your thumb, but go ahead and try to spend a day in your life without your thumb and see how that works out for you. It doesn't. Spoiler alert, you try to write with a pen with no thumb, you can't even go fist because you don't have a thumb. The big toe is the thumb of the foot.
Isn't that what makes us humans? Opposable thumbs?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not opposable toes.
No.
But when it comes to balance and push off and, you know, acceleration and just plain running, that big toe is pretty important.
Well,
I got to unmount toe more.
Yeah, like, well, stop acting like the toe's not a thing. If y'all think the toe's no big deal, then go ahead and stub it at 3 o'clock this morning in the middle of the night going to the bathroom and tell me you wouldn't rather die in that moment than deal with that stub toe. That's the worst feeling in the world.
Even beyond the stub, which is, it's a bad one. I used to go barefoot at my grandpa Dan's house. He had a pool. And at least once a summer, you'd stub it to where the end of it would be like flap hanging and it's bloody. This is not that. Go ahead and if you're home, take off your shoe, take off your sock, and take that big toe and bend it under your foot as hard as you physically can. That's what this is.
What is going on here?
How does that happen?
I'm trying to walk people through it.
No, but how does it happen?
What?
How does it happen?
Why watch the replay about 11 times today?
He had a shoe on.
Right.
So how do you bend the toe underneath your foot? And then, like, what are you showing me?
I'm showing you what happens with your foot. So he's running toward the sideline.
This is a radio
Julian show. Love is pursuing. And Brock, as he's going to the sideline, is being tackled. And when you get tackled, sometimes your foot will bend. Your leg is bending. And instead of your foot landing perfectly on the surface, it lands with the toe on the grass, and then you get tackled by a grown man, and the weight of his body forces you to the ground. And if your foot, if your toe is already on the turf, and you have a 200-pound guy smushing you into the ground, that toe is going to hyperextend. And that's what happened.
This little piggy went to IR.
Pretty much.
Is basically what you're saying.
Right.
All right.
And that's the piggy that always goes to market for those of you who aren't refreshing.
Also,
but
what I do.
That's
so
right.
I guess I'm a big toe.
We'll see that piggy in the aisles.
I'll probably go straight there after the show tonight. Got to get some bread. I need some bread to serve tonight. Make some garlic bread.
Okay.
With some pasta, which is always funny because it's like, oh, are you having bread with your bread? You ever do that? You ever go to a pizza place and order a pizza and then they've got a side of garlic bread?
Occasionally.
What the hell are y'all doing? What do you want for cheese bread? How about some cheese bread?
Yeah, how about some carbs?
Let's call it a side.
Carbs on the carbs, yeah. No doubt.
Funny. Anyway, I got good news.
Yeah.
T-Dog has texted us on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line, and apparently the 49ers are 2-0. It's all okay, and everything is fine. He says expectations for the Niners this weekend, which is what we asked. He said, I follow the Saints, and they're awful. I don't care if Rodney Dangerfield is quarterbacking the Niners. A Shanahan-coached team should win. Just spy Alvin Kamara on defense, and you win. That's it. Game over.
I mean,
defense is fully healthy.
And if it were that easy, then, yeah, go ahead and clock it as a W. I do think that I still feel very confident about the 49ers' chances with Mac Jones at quarterback instead of Brock Purdy. And Christian McCaffrey said it in that quote you were reading. The guy started a lot of games, and he was very accomplished at Alabama. And I do think that you, as a quarterback, are more of a byproduct of your surroundings than it's just all about you.
I agree. I fully agree. But isn't what Christian said very, very – it's the NFL version of a blind date where you tell someone that the person has a great personality. Like, he started a bunch of games. Like, watch the sentences that go together. He's got, that's actually Shanahan. He's got a lot of good film. Listen to McCaffrey. He's been such a good guy in the locker room. Such a good guy on the field. And shown a bunch in camp. He's got a whole bunch of starts under his belt. He's played in the NFL. He's played good football before. What are we saying? He's played before. Yes, he's played before. He has been given a uniform, and he's gone out there, and he's played football before. Listen, I think the Niners will probably be fine, and I very much hope that just like many other quarterbacks, Mac Jones looks like his absolute best self when surrounded by Christian and Kyle Shanahan and Trent Williams and Kyle Juszczyk. That may well happen. I'm just having a hard time with the word. I'm having a hard time with the word expectations because I very much feel like an NFL team losing his quarterback is no different than the Warriors losing Steph Curry after game one of a playoff series. That's how I feel. That's the importance of the quarterback. You and I did a debate like 2 years ago, and it was all about, like, if you had to lose one Niner,
right.
Who would you lose? Who's the MVP? And you said McCaffrey, which is a very makeable point. But for me, it's always a quarterback. I don't care how good the receiver or the running back or the left tackle is. It's an NFL team looks markedly worse at its worst when it loses its quarterback.
So depends on the backup and the situation.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to push back a little on the NBA analogy because you're going to New Orleans. You're not going to Minnesota to take on a team that you know, probably was as good as you with Steph, maybe better. We can adjudicate that again, but I'd rather not. But yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, exactly. But, you know, this situation is different. Would you rather go into New Orleans, Mark, with Brock and no Christian, or Mac and you've got Christian?
I'd rather go in with Brock and no Christian.
Yeah, see, not me.
I'd
rather go
would.
With Mac Jones and Christian McCaffrey as opposed to Brock Purdy and Brian Robinson.
And Brian Robinson, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, yeah. I bet you the Vegas spread would be, the number would be bigger if Brock and Brian were playing as opposed to Mac and Christian.
And that's the Vegas spread.
Yeah.
And we understand that
that's
that is,
how I feel.
You know, that's how you feel. Yeah. I would feel the other way because I think that the step from Brock to Mac is not as precipitous as it would be if it were Josh Dobbs or Brandon Allen or Beathard or Mullins.
Oh, I can agree with you there. I think they do have a higher level backup, but I still think that the drop from one quarterback to the next is the biggest drop that any NFL team can go through.
I mean, I would say this drop, though, would be maybe the smallest drop of any team. Unless you want to talk about, like,
that's interesting.
Whatever, I mean, from Rattler to whoever his backup is. Okay, fine. Rattler is the 32nd best quarterback. Is it
Tyler
Shuck?
Yeah, Tyler Shuck.
So the gap between Rattler and Shuck is smaller than the gap between Brock and Mac, and it's because neither Rattler nor Shuck is very good.
I just like how many – it's the time of year where I would bet – well, this would be a fun game.
Name that backup?
Yeah. How many backup quarterbacks could you name?
Be tough.
I don't know. Like, I'd have to go through.
Like Jimmy G with the Rams.
Well,
we know that.
What if I, like, that would take too long. I'd be like, go through all the teams.
Oh, boy.
And
that's tedious.
Could you name their backup?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
How, like, okay, what if I just said NFC? How many, just rip them off. How many backup? You mentioned Jimmy G.
Yeah, I could probably name like three.
Okay, and you obviously can't do the Niners. That's cheating.
Ah, yeah.
Who's there? Who's Kyler Murray's?
Jeez.
Right.
I got no idea.
John Skelton's still around?
I don't know.
I was going to go with Colt McCoy.
No, the other part that's hard about this is I don't know either. So I can't tell you if you're right or wrong.
Right.
I don't know. You know who Michael Penix's backup is, right?
Jacoby Brissett in Arizona, by the way.
Oh, God, is he really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know
that.
Guy's
moving all over the place.
Who's the Eagles' backup quarterback?
Man. Not Jaworski, is it?
Ron Jaworski.
Pretty sure it's Tanner McKee.
That's correct.
He was great in preseason.
Yeah, Tanner McKee. That's true, he did. You know, preseason. Sure, good job.
You should know the Giants.
Sure, Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Yeah, got that. That one's cheating a little bit. Dallas, as we've gotten to see a whole bunch. You know who Jared Goff's backup is in Detroit?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, Chad Pennington?
I got to pull up the depth chart. Oh, it's Kyle Allen. Look at that.
There you go.
One of the various Allens who plays quarterback.
Teron Taylor's got to be somewhere.
Somewhere.
Someone's backup.
Look it up. You're a producer.
This guy played last year. Can you name the Bears' backup quarterback?
Oh, yeah, that's that Tyler Badgett guy.
Tyson, but yes.
Tyson,
yeah.
Whatever.
Give him half credit.
Yeah.
You got the last name. I'll give you a day.
That little press conference last week where he was crying because he got, like, a two-year deal. And he's from a town of, like, seven people. And he's like, and they don't, none of them have homes or something. It's like a very poor town. And he's like, I can really help people out. And I'm like, that's amazing because you also have, like, that's the smallest quarterback contract in the NFL right now. It is. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It was like, I don't know. What was he going to make? $10 million or something like that?
Terod's with the Jets, by the way.
Terod Taylor. Exciting. That's not his first run with the Jets either.
No. How about the Miami Dolphins backup? This is a name that used to be bigger in the NFL.
A name that used to be bigger. Well, I can tell you their starter is going to be by the end of the year. His name's Kirk Cousins. But their backup, it used to be big.
Yeah.
I don't know. Trubisky? No, he's still in Buffalo, isn't he?
I don't know where Trubisky is
anymore.
I think
he's still in Buffalo.
Miami Dolphins backup is Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah, Zach.
Zach. I mean, you hate to say it, and you hate to see it, but McDaniel is so fired. Like,
well, who? Oh, yes.
Coach in Miami.
Yeah, no. He's not going to make it.
I don't. I'd be surprised if he made it to October. That would surprise me.
There was a moment last week where I was going to be surprised if he made it to today.
Yeah.
But he did.
So far, day's not over.
Tyreek Hill was furious on the sideline, and I'm like, the season started 8 minutes ago. You can't be that mad yet. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.